Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, July 3rd, 2013, and I want to wish, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this great afternoon here, particularly here in central Pennsylvania. I actually see some sunshine, and we haven't seen a lot of that in a long time. Don't think it'll be around for long, but strange weather everywhere. But first, let's go ahead and get to the markets. It was a short trading day in the markets. Markets all closed at 1 o'clock. You're looking at gold up about 10 bucks today at 12.54. Silver was up a little bit strong, 43 cents at 19.92. Platinum was down 24 bucks at 13.52, and palladium was down a dollar at 689. And I have no doubt that they expected gold to be down today, but with the little turmoil that they're having in Egypt. And then the higher higher crude oil, we managed to get $10 out of gold. But not a lot considering what's going on in the Middle East. But so I think that's why you saw gold and silver up today, platinum and palladium down. So no doubt they wanted those two precious metals down. But we can say we beat them today. Might be short-lived. Long-term, we'll beat them, but certainly today. Stock markets today, again, closed early. Wall Street closed early, 1 o'clock. The Dow was up 56 points, and that was a triple-digit turnaround today. And you also had the NASDAQ up 10 at 34.43, S&P up a buck at 16.15, and, of course, the Dow was just shy of 15,000. So all those happy people out there on their picnics tomorrow, drinking beer and eating their burgers, they'll be able to talk about the Dow at 15,000. That's what it's all about, folks. 10-year yield today, it bumped up a little bit, 2.5% on the 10-year. And, again, oil, let me get back, was 101. 101 on oil. Mainly because of what is happening in Egypt, and we'll probably get talking about that first. But first, I want to say hello to Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Yep, more interesting days. You suspect that they intentionally pushed the market up over 15,000 for the benefit of the 4th of July celebrants? Is that your suspicion?
I'm sure of it. I mean, you can go back years and years, and you can see every stinking holiday. You're going to see, except for know, perhaps 2008 and 9, you might have a few holidays in there. But for the most part, the majority of holidays, you'll see the market up and at their little major points. So it can be the main topic of conversation.
Well, if it's the case, then perhaps Mr. Bernanke and Obama and Hillary Clinton, we could get them together and they could do a remake of There's No Business Like Show Business. You remember the movie? I think it was Judy Garland.
Hmm?
Who was in there? I can't remember. There were, I think, I can't remember the two guys that were in there. Judy Garland was there. There's no business like show. That's what we're talking about with the way the economy has been run, the government's been run, the Federal Reserve is being run. It has more to do with appearance. I mean, Washington has become Tinseltown, where they create illusions, and it's the happiest kingdom of them all. It's like Disney World in some regards. All right, let's go to Washington, D.C., the happiest kingdom of them all. We live in, it's not just interesting times. We live in bizarre times, where it's very difficult to even, what is the truth? No. Somebody just, could we rely on someone to tell us the truth on a regular basis? Apparently not. So what else we got, Melody?
Well, the big news of the day is Egypt. And, well, of course, I guess they did oust Morsi in their military coup. And, you know, I saw an interview earlier today. It was, he was a executive chairman of a media company and tech company out of Egypt. And, you know, he was talking about how they had shut down the media, how they stopped travel, they banned travel. And it really sounded a lot like martial law.
Sure it is.
And he talks about how, and, you know, yes, there's going to be turmoil in the Middle East. I mean, that is not an eye-opening, you know, we all know this. But this is one situation, and we, you know, we know who's behind a lot of this disruption in these countries. And but he did talk about the powers of the Constitution, and that Morsi had gone beyond their Constitution. He'd broken laws, both domestically and internationally. And this was a lot bigger than what they portrayed on our media. He says they show this one square of people that is just packed. He says, but there's four or five squares that you'll find with the same number of people. And he says he had said there was no doubt of Morsi's departure. And he says this is the biggest gathering of people for a country and mankind. Don't know if that's true, but
I wouldn't be surprised. There are allegedly a million or more people showing up on these demonstrations. I've seen reports of that number. I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but those kinds of numbers, I mean, good God, how many cities are there in the world that have more than a million people, and they're getting a million people for demonstration? I mean, you're talking about something massive. You're also talking about incredible problems. How is it going to be held together? It's like Morsi, he should be just thinking, he'd say, praise God, because he's getting out of there alive.
Yes.
He's been overthrown. All right, before somebody shot him. And now, I don't know who's going to be, the military is going to establish the rule in Egypt, or they're going to try to. But who is going to take real control, and who is going to be perceived as the leader, the president, the general, whatever? I guarantee you his life is going to be in danger. Because the problems are too big to be resolved. They can't resolve these problems in Egypt. There is no way. They lack the internal resources to solve the problems they have. And it pretty much means that they're not going to be satisfied over there. They aren't going to go back into some sort of stability. I doubt that they're going back into any significant stability until a significant portion of the population has died in violent resistance to government, in violent support of government. But what do you do when there's not enough food to eat? And that's what they're facing. That's what they're ultimately facing. There's not enough food to eat. Now, who is your enemy? Who's your adversary? Doesn't matter. All you have to do is shoot whoever's got any food so you can have some for yourself or maybe your family. The whole thing is going, you know, it's insane, it's unfortunate, it's an enormous tragedy, and whoever assumes control, I don't see how they're going to succeed. They may succeed for a little while, just like Morsi, he lasted a year. I don't know how long the military is going to be able to maintain control, but they can't do it without shooting people. I'll guarantee, I'll bet a stack of dollar bills, Melody. Maybe even Confederate money, which these days probably has more value than Federal Reserve notes.
I'll tell you what, if they pull this off without massive bloodshed, I think that's very interesting.
I don't think they can.
Yeah.
I don't think they can. This has been going on for a couple of years.
I know, but it will be interesting.
Was elected right at a year ago, everybody
well,
said,
sure. Look,
we have a democratically elected president.
Western
He's
educated.
He's the head of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah. It's going to be great. No, it's not. It doesn't matter who you put in there. You can elect the Prophet Muhammad to run Egypt, and the Prophet is not going to be able to pull it off. The problems are too big to be solved. And that's a terrifying situation. You know, you can have trouble. And you can have trouble that is too big to be resolved. In difficult times, you can work your way through. The Egyptians are not going to work their way through this without a bunch of them dying. Although it might take another, who knows, it might be another year, 2 years, 3 years. I don't know. But there is no resolution. They don't have the resources to support their population.
Well, you did have Mubarak, he was able to keep peace.
He did up to a point.
To a point.
Yeah, he
well,
left.
That's all you ever can do over there is up to a point.
Well, it's not as if that he could have been ousted at any point. Mubarak was in office for 20, 30 years. I don't know how long he was in there, but he was there for several decades. And during those several decades, Egypt's ability to feed itself and provide for itself was slowly diminishing. 10 years ago, anybody could have run Egypt and held it together. They had enough resources. Today, no one can run Egypt, because they don't, including Mubarak, because they don't have enough resources to maintain their population. So now what are they going to do? I mean, I do not see a solution other than the population gets thinned by, who knows, 10, 20, 30%, and drive people into rat holes and rubble. But there's going to be trouble, trouble, trouble. And the one thing about it, of course, there will be competing factions to see who's going to take control or who's just going to claim one section of Egypt and say, this is ours, and the rest of you stay out of that. There will be, you know, war between the different factions. One or more of those factions will seek to control the Suez Canal, if only to use it as a device to blackmail the rest of the world that needs the Suez Canal to haul oil from the Middle East over up into Europe, or perhaps even through the Mediterranean and on toward the United States. But that Suez Canal is vital. And if people, anyone who could gain control of that, would be in a position to bribe people, if only by increasing the price. I don't know what it costs to move a ship through the Suez Canal, but suppose I owned the Suez Canal and I could control it and I doubled the price. I stand to make a bunch of money, and the world has to use that, you know, I could raise that price a bunch before the world said, forget it, we'll travel all the way around Africa and come up the hard way. We'll go the long distance rather than pay that price. Bunch of money, valuable resource, and all it means is there'll be fights over it, and before it's done, what happens if the Suez Canal is taken out of business? What happens to the price of oil and whatever else moves through it today? So it's interesting. And it's not news. I know we talked about this when Mubarak was elected. I know we talked about it during the Arab Spring in 2001. Talked about it then and told, look, there's not enough resources. This situation cannot be solved. And it's showing, you know, it's taking
a couple
of years. But we are. But that's exactly where we're headed.
And it isn't anything new. I mean, there will never be peace in the Middle East.
Well, the Bible says, that verse in the Bible talks about peace in the Middle East in end times. And something to the effect that people will say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. I don't blame government for trying to negotiate different agreements to try to maintain some semblance of peace in the Middle East. I don't blame them for trying. But I'm inclined to believe the Bible. It's a fool's errand. It ain't going to happen. You understand? And if you want to dissipate your money and the lives of your children and your grandchildren trying to establish peace by means of bribery or by means of war in the Middle East, you're on a fool's errand, in my opinion. You know that? I just say, fine, do whatever it is you're doing over there. We're going to stay here.
I think another interesting story, I don't know if you talked about it on other programs, but I think the story with Snowden is interesting. And yesterday they stopped a plane from Bolivia with its president. You had Spain, Portugal, I believe, and France wouldn't allow his plane to fly over. They denied permission to fly over these countries. And it's interesting because you see the financial connection with these countries to the U.S. And they took the plane down and they checked it out. And, of course, he was not on the plane. That they had taken it to Vienna. And it's interesting what they are going through to get this person. I mean, this person, the information, Al, as far as what I know, what he has released isn't anything that we didn't know about 5-10 years ago. I mean, we all know that the U.S. is in their spine, particularly after 9/11, particularly after the NDAA. We know this.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Snowden. So he has become a kind of icon on one level, and more. And the reason is because his story went viral. No one knows what will make the internet jump. You know, it's like taking electric shocks to frog legs in biology class back when you're in high school. You don't know exactly where to put the shock in order to make the leg jump. And it's the same thing with making some stories go viral. And that's what's happened. Snowden could have done this, and it wasn't exactly news, at least not what's been reported so far.
That's what I think.
But the story all by itself went viral. The whole world is on it. European governments are allegedly angry about U.S. spying. Europeans are angry. The only people that aren't too angry are the American people. We don't seem to be too upset about government spying on us, and we should be more upset than anyone else.
Well, here's another way to look at it, Al. Maybe they intentionally wanted it to go viral. Because look at the reactions to the people. Well, duh, they've been spying on us. So, I mean, who cares? Nobody really seems to matter anymore. And maybe, I think also, perhaps he has other information.
That's the, you know, there's the point. How much more information does he have? And is it these other governments working in conjunction with the United States in this matter to capture him? I mean, it's pretty amazing. Even Putin in Russia has come out and said he wanted no more leaks.
Yep.
All right, he wanted it stopped. He didn't want any more leaks. Now, that's just astonishing. That indicates that people you would think would be at least objective, maybe adversarial, they're going along with the program. What is in the balance of Snowden's information? And he has allegedly released that information to half a dozen different sources. They have copies of everything he has, who will allegedly, if anything happens to him, they'll turn it all loose. Now, I guarantee you, again, I would not want to be one of those half dozen people, because I'll bet you that the FBI is looking at Snowden's kindergarten teacher. And they're there, they want to investigate and go through her house and see whether she's got any of this stuff hidden in there. Their hard drives, their computers, whatever. They're looking at everybody Snowden's ever touched or talked to, and they want that information. You know, if Snowden had any brains, he'd release everything he's got.
Yep.
The only time you're in danger when you have this kind of information is when you're the only one that has it. When everybody's got it, the story's over. Snowden should release it all, and he would be much safer.
So
I'm Alfred Addis here in Financial. I'm Alfred Addis. What?
Is there additional information then? Or is
I think
there?
I think it doesn't make sense that the rest of the governments, they even insult the president of Bolivia and won't let his plane fly over in order to try to catch him in three European countries. It implies there's big information there that remains to be released. If Snowden was smart, he'd release that information as quickly as possible, and then he becomes a non-story, a historical event, but not a live story. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Melody, do we have a special for the people today?
We're continuing the one free Silver Eagle with each order, any gold coin order, and, of course, with silver, we do need to have a minimum of 2 tubes, which would be 40 Silver Eagles for that to apply. So we're running that through the end of the day. The market's closed. A lot of my buyers have already closed at 4 o'clock. So, folks, if you're going to make an order today, you better do so from now until a little after 5 o'clock because most of the
Eastern time,
because most of the dealers have – wholesalers, I should say, have closed. So okay. Depending on what we got in inventory and so forth, but always call us. Don't shy away. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. That's DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins, coins.com. Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if you'd like to send a question for the program, you can do so by using the email address questions@dgscoins.com. Questions at dgscoins.com. And we do like to encourage you to send us emails if you are listening to the program by computer. And if you'd like to give us a call, you can also do, if you have a question for Al or myself, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And we had some questions that came in on the other day that we didn't get to. One was particularly about the topic that we were just talking about. And what's interesting about this also is, even though France played a role in this plane incident yesterday, there's talks, and they've been talks since the beginning of the year, about a free trade agreement between the European Union and the United States. So since this happened on the plane incident, France came out to say, we want a delay in these talks. So again, that points to how important and how big this really is going on.
Well, it implies that there's a lot more coming.
Hey, France,
at least there may be a lot more coming.
I mean, France's economy is in the tank.
Yeah.
I mean, they would benefit greatly on a free trade accord. But
they would benefit greatly.
Somewhat.
They would benefit greatly by appeasing the French people right now too.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is perceived as a way of, we're going to get Uncle Sam, fine, the French may applaud even while they don't have anything to eat or they don't have any jobs. You know, what we're seeing in Egypt, it's not impossible to see that in Greece. We've already seen traces of it in Greece. It's not impossible to see it in Spain. Maybe not to the same degree, but we've seen some enormous demonstrations in Spain over the past year. I wouldn't expect to see the kind of demonstrations and political upheaval in France that they're going to have and that they're going to have in Egypt. But it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. The world is, you know, I keep using that analogy, that glass in the Memorex commercial that's beginning to vibrate just before it shatters. We're beginning to see that. And not just beginning. It's been going on for some time, but we'll watch and see. Will the glass shatter or will it maintain? Will it hold together? Some of the glasses, the Egyptian glass, is going to shatter. European glass, probably hold together. American glass, probably hold together. But it's going to be a bumpy ride. What's next, Melody?
Well, his question about Snowden. Is he still in? Do you think he's still in Russia, or do you think he's in China?
I think he's probably still in that airport in Russia. I think everyone, when we see that they're willing to pull the president of Bolivia, they won't let him cross airspace because he might be carrying Snowden. It indicates that there are enormous pressures being brought to bear to try to lay hands on this guy Snowden. I doubt if he ever imagined that he would inspire as much activity, effort, cost, energy to try to capture him as is happening right now. And where I'm going with that is, therefore, every card that can be played, or virtually every card that can be played with the Russians, is being played with the Russians. And they're telling him, don't let that SOB out of that airport. And for right now, Russia's probably just going to see to it that he stays locked up in that international airport. And if they turn him loose, if they let him out of there, someone is going to be very angry at Mr. Putin. And one way or another, they're going to make it sting. Nobody's going to go to war over this. But there's going to be a price to be paid. And Putin understands that, I think. And he's just saying, I don't want to pay that price.
Well, here's another question that's not directly related, but in several publications, along with the EU Times, there was talks that were completed between Russia and the U.S. and D.C., and the articles say that Obama's had requested at least 15,000 Russian troops that are trained in disaster relief and crowd functions be pre-positioned to respond to FEMA Region 3 during an unspecified upcoming disaster. Have you heard that, and what is your take on it?
I've heard those kinds of rumors. Well, some people, they take this and they say, oh, my gosh, Russia's going to be here to enforce martial law on the people. 15,000 is nothing. It's a triviality. All right? We could not handle Iraq. The entire might of the world's only remaining superpower, at least that was the appearance back when we last invaded Iraq, what, 2003? And Iraq is about the size and population of Texas, and the entire military might of the United States government couldn't handle Iraq. Who can handle the United States of America if everything really goes south? If things really decompose, if we see real chaos, we're going to be more trouble than Egypt. And there's not enough military. There's not enough cops. And to control this, if it goes up for grabs, it's going to be a terrible situation. And you're not going to persuade foreign governments to just come in and say, well, sure, we'll help control all those lousy Americans. What's going to happen if the lousy Americans regain control of the government, including our Poseidon submarines with their Polaris nuclear missiles? Do you want to be the premier of China and try to explain to the Chinese people that, uh-oh, the people that we were trying to oppress in the United States have regained control of their Polaris missiles and the Poseidon submarines? Nobody wants to take that risk. The next group of people take over control of Washington, D.C. just might be a little too angry about Russian troops being here to just say, oh, we'll let you guys go. There may be a terrible price to be paid. You have to be a real gambler in a foreign country to say, well, sure, we'll contribute troops to help oppress the American people. Why not? I mean, because everybody in your own country, they're going to be chomping at you. Every one of the people that are close to you who want to be premier of China, they're going to be looking for an opportunity to use the audacity of sending Chinese troops. I'm just using that as an example over here to make a significant impact on domestic politics in this country. It's a dangerous game, and I don't expect too many people are going to be willing to play it. So, is it scary on one level? Yes, but on another level, it's more of a gesture. 15,000 troops divided by 50 states. What is that? 1,500 troops per state? What's that?
Not many.
Doesn't amount to anything. It's going to be a bunch of Russians in this country. Do you have any idea how many good old boys are? I can tell you if I were Russian and they said, you're going to Texas, boy, to help suppress the people. I think I'd put the gun to my head and pull the trigger and say, I am going to die here on Russia. I'm not going to Texas where all those good old boys will be shooting at every foreign uniform they can see. I'm going to wish you were back in Afghanistan. Huh? This is not the country to try to overcome. There are too many people. You can bomb it, but you better not set foot on it.
Well, you know what? There's been discussions for years and years and years where they were either Russian troops or German troops. And they do training over here. We do training over there and so forth. And yet it's not a site that we like or something that we like to hear about and so forth. But it does happen. And I can remember people being upset because they saw a caravan of military vehicles going up the major highway when I lived in Arizona. Well, they did that every year. It was a training exercise. They did it. You could count your watch to it. They were there every year doing it. So a lot of this stuff is taken to the...
A lot of it is exaggerated. Again, the world's superpower, that was us, could not handle Iraq, which was about the size and population of Texas. Name the superpower or coalition of powers that can handle the 48 states on continental United States, not even count Alaska. The 48 states. Go ahead. Nobody can take Iraq. Who's going to take the whole United States? There is no military force able to do that. Can it be destroyed? Yes. Can it be conquered by boots on the ground? No. Ain't going to happen because we have more armed people in this country than they have in their whole army. Come on down. We'll send you home in body bags or feed you to the fish. You're not going to take this country. This country will not fall to some outside force. If it's going to fall, it will fall to Washington, D.C., and all the treasonous whores in the cat house on the Potomac. That's what will do us in. And what will do us in is our own apathy, our own refusal to objectively assess our own government, our inclination to trust these SOBs when they have demonstrated time and time again that they are not working for the American people's best interest. They are working to take this country down, and Americans say, oh, well, let's trust them one more time. I say don't trust them a bit. Don't trust your congressman. And I don't care if he's kissed you and kissed your baby. Don't trust him. Don't trust your senator. And that goes for the best senators any one of you can name. You trust these people. You trust Obama. You're a fool. You trust your congressman? There's a handful in Congress that might be halfway decent, but they are all itching for an opportunity to get the big bribe and work on their own career and their own wealth. You go ahead and name, tell me how many congressmen you can name that you truly think is working for the best interest of the United States of America. They are working predominantly to sell this country down the river. We got an article there on immigrants. Let me click on it for whatever. There we go. Coming up. Here's an article from Washington Times. Immigrants account for all job gains since 2000. Native-born workers' employment has fallen. This is the Washington Times. Immigrants. All right, we've got a Congress right now, a Senate, at least, who has just passed a proposed bill, it has to go through the House yet, where they want to grant amnesty to all the illegal aliens in this country. But here's an article that says, oh, my God. And part of the reason they did that, what did they advertise back in the day when there's all the illegal aliens are coming into this country back, 8 years ago, whatever, 6 years ago under the Bush administration? And they said they're taking the jobs Americans don't want. Bunk. They never took a job Americans don't want. They take the wages Americans don't want. That's what the illegal aliens and even the legal immigrants are taking. Here's the article. Immigrants, both legal and illegal, have accounted for all of the job gains in the U.S. labor market since 2000. That's for the past 13 years. All of the job gains for 13 years have gone to immigrants, both legal and illegal. And this is according to a hot report that highlights the stiff competition for jobs in a tight economy as Congress debates adding more workers to the mix. The Center for Immigration Studies report, which is being released Wednesday, says 22.4 million immigrants of working age held jobs at the beginning of this year, up 5.3 million over the total in 2000. But native-born Americans with jobs dropped 1.3 million over that same period from 114.8 million to 113.5 million. Native-born Americans have lost jobs. Immigrants have gained 5.3, roughly, ballpark figure, five times as many jobs went to illegal aliens as the number of jobs were lost to Americans. The number of Americans who aren't in the labor force at all has jumped by almost 13 million. Last 13 years, even last 5 years, make clear that large-scale immigration can go hand-in-hand with weak job growth and declining rates of work among the native-born. What does that mean? It means that the average wage is falling. They are bringing the illegals in here, and they are taking jobs at lower rates than Americans would have taken them. They're not just taking your job. They're taking it for less money. That's how they get the job. It's not because they're fluent in English. It's not because they're politically connected. It's because they work for less. This may be good for major corporations. It may be good for sending goods. We now can compete at almost the same wage scale as China. It's not that bad yet, but we're headed in that direction. But it's about reducing wages in this country. And that's what's going to happen. You will be impoverished, ladies and gentlemen. Your children will live in poverty. Your grandchildren, while you vote for some smiling SOB who's running for Congress or the Senate or the White House, who is making promises that he will never keep while they turn their back on the American people. Virtually every time they show up for business, they are doing something to damage this country. It's time for a break. I'm Alfred Addis on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adiskin. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom, and we were just hammering this idea report. Who was it from? Report comes out from, let me see if I can get this thing back on the computer here, Center for Immigration Studies, indicates that all of the job growth since 2000 has gone to immigrants, both legal and illegal. Right, not just illegal, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to give the immigrants their due. If they're willing to work hard and they're willing to work cheap, all right, you got to give them their due. I understand that. But you have to also give the Congress and the Senate and the President their due. They know this. They know that the immigrants are taking these jobs. They know that this is bringing poverty to the American people. Now, the American people got to get off their dead asses and actually start to work. Not just show up and say, I might as well be on welfare because, you know, by the time you calculate how much it costs me to drive into work every day, I might as well sit home and just watch TV and get welfare and government. And there's government to blame on that. They've created a situation where it's easy for people, comparatively easy. I won't say it's easy, but it's comparatively easy to sit back. If you're astute, you can make a lot of money on welfare, take advantage of all the benefits. It can be actually a pretty lucrative situation. It's tempting. But here's one last sentence in this article that I want to read. Whether immigrants compete for jobs is a heated topic, though the Senate all but ignored it during the chamber's debate on its bill to legalize most illegal immigrants and create opportunities for new immigrants and temporary workers to enter the U.S. What can it mean other than they want to even bring more immigrants in? They want to legalize the illegals that are here. They want to reward people that are breaking laws to get into this country, and they know that it is costing jobs among the native-born. The government is working against your best interest. They are working against the best interests of this country. They are working to do what's right for creating a North American Union. As soon as they can move enough Mexicans into this country where you can't really draw the line between the United States and Mexico, then all we have to do is get Canada, United States, and Mexico, and we have a North American Union as a component of the New World Order. They are running an economy rather than a nation. It takes a completely different system of values, and in the only thing they care about, how do we make the most money? It's not a question of right and wrong. It's not a question of moral issues. It's a question of what is profitable and what is not. If you can make money dealing drugs, do it. If you can make money being a stripper, do it. If you can make money being a whore, do it. Do whatever it is. If it makes money, that makes it good. And that is the fundamental system of values that is there for any economy. If you want to live in an economy, you will live in a world dominated completely by the pursuit of money. If you want to live in a nation, that's another story. It has a different system of values. And most of the people listening to this program right now, you are of a mindset where you're living in a nation. And you want those values that you can find in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bible. But the world right now, and many in Congress, they're living in an economy. Right and wrong has been replaced by profit and loss. And this business with bringing illegals in, it's driving the price of labor lower.
Al, I believe that the price of labor will even go lower. Last night, we have information. Last night, they released that they're pushing the Obamacare for businesses. They get an extra year. They won't be penalized for their deadline has been pushed up a whole year. Do you think possibly that's in relationship to this illegal immigration bill that has to be passed? Because you know all these businesses are going to be cutting back hours, laying people off. Now they can bring in a lot of these illegal immigration folks and put them on the books. So they'll be laying off folks, and everything is time. There's a timing for everything. So
here's one of the things about it, as I understand Obamacare, it will be enforced if you have 100 people working for you who were born in this country and here legally, you're going to have to pay up into Obamacare or you're going to face a $3,000 fine for each employee you have that's not covered by one way or another brought into Obamacare by the business.
Right.
But you don't have to face that fine. That $3,000 fine does not apply if you're hiring illegal aliens. Huh? Hiring immigrants, doesn't
that's
have
my
to do
point.
It.
So then they get an extra
incentive.
That's
it creates an incentive for businesses to hire illegal aliens. It creates an incentive to put more Americans who are born here out of work.
That's my point. Did they extend that year for businesses so they could get this immigration bill passed and done?
I doubt that
it's coming first.
The immigration bill per se. I think it has more to do with what they have realized that the burden on businesses will be so great that in the economy.
I don't think they care about the burden of business.
Well, they care. We have an article here that deals with it. The decision, in a significant setback for President Obama's signature domestic initiative, the administration on Tuesday abruptly announced a one-year delay until 2015 in his health care law's mandate that larger employers provide coverage for their workers or pay penalties. The decision postpones the effective date beyond next year's midterm elections. All right. This has as much to do with just politics as anything.
I know that part.
They don't want all the businesses screaming and shouting that we have to pay all these damn fines and fees and rest of that.
This is an important election for the Democrats.
The whole damn thing is stupid. All right? I've done plenty of dumb things in my life.
Yeah?
And they didn't seem like they were so dumb at the time, but in retrospect, you look back and say, that was really stupid. You know? What the government is doing is, Obamacare is stupid. In retrospect, sooner or later, everybody's going to look back and say, this was really stupid. And the smartest thing you can do is recognize the mistake so you can correct it. Now, what the government will do is they'll sit back and deny that there's any fundamental mistake. They're not going to say, nobody's going to admit that Obamacare is stupid. They're just going to say, well, there's some details that need to be tightened up. And what they mean by tightening up is pass more rules, more regulations, and make it even dumber. Right? The solution, it's like using a debt-based currency. How do we get out of being in debt? Well, we go deeper into debt. We borrow more money so we can go deeper into debt, and somehow that's going to stimulate the economy and everything's going to work out. We're going to have a recovery from our massive debt by going deeper into debt. This is the same kind of mentality that people in Congress use when they say the solution to Obamacare is more Obamacare. Somebody needs to say this is dumb. It was an enormous mistake, and it's not going to work. And the fact that they backed off for a year is simply evidence. They know it isn't going to work. They back off a year, I bet before they're done, come 2015, they'll back off another year. And before this is all over, before Obama goes out of office, it will be admitted this was a joke, forget it, we're, you know, never mind. But they don't want to face that until after next year's midterm elections. Then they'll admit. 2015, they'll admit that Obamacare is dumb. Nine. And it'll be bad for Obama, but it won't hurt the Democrats that bad by the time we get to the 2016 election. Won't do the Republicans that much good.
We've got two callers. And who's this first caller that we have? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, this is Joseph from Georgia.
Yes, Joseph. You have a question for Al or myself?
Well, just, you know, question, you know, like, kind of like questioning every, you know, just everybody's ideas on what's coming down and, like, these Russian troops and, you know, these people that's running things can do what they want to do when they want to do it. And instead of spreading troops out, like if you're going to create chaos or some mass casualty thing worse than 9/11, you're going to use all of these troops in one spot or two places. You know, then another thing is, like in the cities where everybody's dependent on municipal water and it's got to be pumped or something, say, like, if they knock the power out, some kind of false flag, there'll be a lot of thirsty people. And then also you can't pump gasoline, so you don't have to
kill a bunch of people to create chaos. I agree that chaos can happen. I get that. But you can't send enough Russian troops over here to maintain order. In the event of real chaos, I mean, if the water supply goes down, I guarantee, I don't care if you're Russian or Chinese or whatever, I'm going to the lake and you get in my way, you know, there's going to be a bunch of us that are going to shoot. Better not be between me and the lake when I'm going for my water. I'll die trying to get there, and you better be willing to die to stop me. And I bet that a whole bunch of Russians are going to say, this is crazy. Are they going to wish they were back in Afghanistan?
Look, I think there's all kinds of scenarios that can be created in all types of situations. And this is why we prepare for these situations, so that if you're prepared, then it really, you don't have to worry about your water. You don't have to worry about your food. You don't have to worry about every other thing that you need. That's the whole point of learning about this stuff. But to spread fear into people's lives about situations that might or might not occur, I have a hard time with that. If it helps people do something, that's great. I think that's wonderful, because people need to get off their seats and do something about it. And they need to do for more than just themselves. They can't be selfish in this. They should be thankful that they have the ability to purchase water, to purchase food, and to know what is going on. They've been given a gift to understand what's going on. It just doesn't happen. I think people have been given a gift to understand what we're facing. They've been given a gift to understand that this is a spiritual battle. And that's another segment. However, so we have to keep things in perspective. And we just can't be, you know, running off the deep end. Anything can happen at any time. We don't know.
Yeah, but
we're not in control of that.
We are. You're exactly right. Anything can happen. But again, the worst case scenario is what we hear about the most. When we talk about chaos, we're talking about the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is also the least likely scenario.
Yes.
By definition, if it is the worst, not medium, not fair, a little bit bad, but the worst, it's the least likely. All right? So you can prepare for that worst case scenario, but you don't want to be driven to a state of paranoia and fear by that possibility because it is the least likely possibility. It's
also,
not impossible, but it's
And we also
least
have
likely.
Another caller we need to get to.
With 9/11, only, it was bad, but only two big buildings and 3,000 people, but they use it as an excuse to tighten up, and on everything. That's just, that's just an
I understand,
example.
But there's a limit to how much they can tighten. They don't have enough people to control this country without our voluntary consent. There's only about 0.3% of the population that are police, about 0.3% that are military. If they brought all the military back from all foreign countries, they would still be outnumbered. They and the police combined are outnumbered about 100-1 in this country, 60-1 in terms of adults, armed adults. Those are bad odds, and you can't even count on the cops and the military to be entirely willing to fight with the American people. I mean, worst case scenario, it just goes into chaos. That's all.
We have another caller in line perhaps we can get to real quick.
Okay.
Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate your call. We always do. And we have Ivan waiting on the line. Are you there, Ivan?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for waiting.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon. Wait, first I couldn't get on. I talked to...
Well, we only have about 2 minutes left, Ivan.
Okay,
so.
Well, anyway, my point is going back to Snowden and where Russia, Putin was saying that he cannot tell anything about the additional secrets which he has. And I think what Putin is trying to say is that let's keep the U.S. and the world guessing what else he has or what else he took. And that's why I think Russia will get the secrets and the China, I'm sure they already have it, particularly when he was already in Hong Kong. And so this way, if he doesn't say anything else, the U.S. will not know what he took with him as far as the additional knowledge, possibly 9/11, Oklahoma City, or whatever. So this is where I think Putin is playing a kind of a chess game with U.S. as far as what to say and what not to say. And having the knowledge already from Snowden, somebody has it already, because should something happen to him...
Oh, I don't doubt there's a number of people who have it, Ivan. Again, we're going to have to let it go, though, today, because we are out of time. I want to thank you for your call, Ivan. We'll talk to you again perhaps mañana or next Friday or next week. But we got to go. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.